So, being that we're coming right off the heels of Tu B'Shvat today, so we'll just say maybe 5-10 minutes about Tu B'Shvat a little bit to lighten up the shiur. And then we'll go on to another issue, that being that tonight is my Tu B'Shvat was my birthday. So we'll talk about Jewish birthdays, what the halacha has to say about Jewish birthdays. Now, the real answer is that the halacha has nothing to say about Jewish birthdays. So really we're going to talk about different Jewish life cycles. It's a little bit out there of the birthday. So here we go. First of all, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, just about Tu B'Shvat. So the Mishnah says in Beis Amud Aleph and Rosh Hashanah, if you look at number one, it says, Arba Rosh Hashanah Heim. There are four different times of the year which are called Rosh Hashanah. They have a special significance. What are they? Be'echa B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Melachim. What does it make a difference when the Melech's years are counted from and when they're counted to? So we know that the Gemara in Gittin talks about how you write the years on a shtar based on the Melachim. So that's what the Mishnah means over here, that the Echad B'Nisan is considered the cutoff point for the year with regard to the kings. And with regard to, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Baal Ta'acher, the Gemara has a three-way machlokes hatanoim. If a person makes a neder that he's going to bring a carbon, he's going to offer a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So when is he over on his neder? Does he have to bring it the next day? So no. So the Gemara has a three-way machlokes hatanoim. Do you say that it's Regel Rishon, the first Yontif that comes around, and he does not bring the carbon, he neglects to bring his carbon on that Yontif, so he is already over on Baal Ta'acher. That's Shita number one.
He said he was going to bring how many carbonas?
However many. So when do we say he's over in his...
Let's say he commits to bring 50 carbonas.
So it's the same din if he commits to bring 50 as if he commits to bring one. So the Gemara says that if he commits to bring a carbon and he does not bring it after the first Yontif passes, one of the Tanoim believes that then he's already going to be over on the Isra of Baal Ta'acher. The other Tanoim hold that no, he's only over on Baal Ta'acher once Shalosh Regalim pass, because that's considered a full year, Baal Ta'acher. However, the third opinion in the Gemara holds that the only time he's going to be over on Baal Ta'acher is if three Regalim Kisidram pass. So you have, let's say he makes a nether before Sukkot one year, so then he has Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. He gets an extra Yomtiv. So that's what the Gemara says, that for a regalim, when it comes... What was that? Right, you would have five. Exactly. So that's what the Mishnah means over here, that one of those Rosh Hashanim is Echad B'Nisan. That's how we calculate when Baal Ta'acher begins from. Be'echad B'El Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser B'Hema. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Be'echad B'Tishrei. They say that it's from Echad B'Tishrei, not Echad B'El. Be'echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanah M'L'Shmitim L'Yodos L'Natiyah V'L'Yirachot. Fine. Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanos. On the first day of Shvat is the first... It is called the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Now it's interesting that over here the Gemara doesn't say Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Over here, all of a sudden, we have a strange lashon in the Mishnah, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Sounds like it's like a famous Divrei Beis Shammai like we all know about, which is a very strange lashon, which we don't find in many other places, which people talk about. Okay, Beis Hillel Amar B'Chamisha Azaros. So Beis Hillel says that the proper time for the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos is what we generally know as Rosh Hashanah Lilanos, which is Tu B'Shvat. So good. So in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph Siv Vav, the Mechaber paskins that we have a minig that we do not recite Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat. Very good. So that's the minig in Gan Tzvi Yisrael. Says the Bir Agra, how do we know? So he says, from the fact that it's listed as one of these Rosh Hashanahs in this Mishnah, so it must be that they're placed together. So the original makor for this, and in Shulchan Aruch also in Siman Tavkuf Ayin Beis, the Mechaber writes that if let's say the Chacham in every generation have a right to be Gozer Tamesim if they feel that for some reason the Tzibur needs a Tainus. So let's say they said that next week we're going to have Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni. And Sheni falls out on Tu B'Shvat. So what's the din? Says the Mechaber, we push it off another week. Even though the Chacham came along and said that we think that it's important that we have a Bahab next week, if it bumps into a Tu B'Shvat, so Tu B'Shvat is more important, and the Tu B'Shvat overrides it, and we would not be allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat. So that's the Mechaber in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Beis. So with regard to this Mechaber in Kuf Lamed Aleph, with regard to Tachanun, so the original makor for this is really in the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom has a Tshuva Sefer. Shalos HaTshuvos Rabbeinu Gershom Mar Agolo. So over there, Rabbeinu Gershom says, someone asked him about saying Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat, and he responded as follows. He said, the Gemara says, Amayi Katan Daf Dalet, which is number two. The Gemara says, Eser Natios Arava V'Nisach HaMayim Halachal Moshe Misina. Okay, so the Gemara tells me three seemingly not connected, totally disconnected from each other. They have nothing to do with each other. Eser Natios is a din with regard to Shvius, a special din about Tosefa Shvius, when a person has to begin not doing avoda on his land. And arava is a din about being makif arava by the mizbeach. And nisach hamayim is nisach hamayim. So the Gemara says all three of these are halacha moshe misina. Says the Gemara is avdala and medal from mayikotin. From the fact that the Gemara put all three of these together, asher natiyas arava and nisach hamayim, it must be, says the Gemara, must be they have one din in common. Otherwise, what are they doing together? So says the Gemara, from the fact, what is the nafkamina lahalacha that would string all three of these dinim together? So the Gemara says in the Maskana there that from the fact that Arava and Nisachamayim only apply Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, so the din of Esr Natiyas also only applies Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, even though the dinim of Shviyas should really not be connected with Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim or not, it's a mitzvah tulis baretz. Still says the Gemara, from the fact that all three of these dinim were placed together in the Mishnah, so you see obviously that they have one thread, one common theme that goes through them, and they all are only when the Beis HaMikdash is Bivinyanos. It says Rabbeinu Gershom that that's how we know that you don't say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat, because from the fact that all these Rosh Hashanahs are placed together in the Mishnah, there must be a common theme throughout all of them. So he says that it's a Shtikli Yantif, so you don't say Tachanun. So when I was talking to my father about this morning, he thought that it was very problematic to still. No, so all of them have a din Yantif a little bit.
The only one, no, the only one that's not.
Is Tu B'Shvat.
It's Tu B'Shvat, so why make that as a commonality?
So he says that the commonality is as a shtickle din yantiv. So therefore we don't say Tachanun on a yantiv. That's what he says. The problem with this tushtel is, which a lot of people point out, when you're talking about Esr Natiyas Arava V'Nisach HaMayim, the Gemara is bothered because these three dinim have nothing to do with each other. Why would I just make a statement that has three different fragments and all the three fragments have nothing to do with each other? So therefore the Gemara says there must be something in common. Over here we're talking about all the different listings of Rosh Hashanah. Why is it so crazy that the Mishnah will put Tu B'Shvat together with it, even if it's not a Din Yantif, but it's a Rosh Hashanah? Of course it belongs in that Mishnah. So that's why many have a problem. However, the halacha l'maisa is we don't say Tachanun on a Tu B'Shvat, and that's the din.
Nobody argues.
What? Nobody argues, right? We leave it like it is. Someone actually asked me last night. What?
He argues.
No, I think there's minhagim about what to do with the mincha before. That's a question.
Right, that is a shaila.
But
Ezra's Torah says favorish.
That you shouldn't say. Right, Ezra's Torah says. So usually Ezra's Torah is the kaveh promotion. Yeah. In YU they say tachanun. I don't know why. Whatever. Anyway, it's actually interesting. Last night a guy asked me a shaila. I was at a wedding, so a cousin of mine teaches in Hank. So he told me that there's someone who's sitting shiva right near Hank, who didn't want to be, I guess he's not such a popular guy, he didn't have a minion who was come to his house to daven during Shiva. So he wanted to know, so this Avil didn't want to be Matriach Hank to send 10 students over instead of davening with the school minion, he didn't think that was right, so he decided he's going to come daven in the school and he'll say Kaddish, fine. So that's what he did. So then it came time for Tachanun, and basically you don't say Tachanun because Tachanun is din, it's Ma'ir din, it's not something that's very Rachamim oriented. So therefore, the Mefarshim say the minig is that you don't say Tachanun and Beis Avil because the Avil already has a very strong din on him. You don't want to bring upon him any more din than he already has. So the Shaila was, what do you do in this type of case where the Beis Avil came to the shul, came to the school? So are they supposed to recite Tachanun? What?
Wouldn't that be similar to a Chassan Shaila?
Similar to a chassan shaila.
So
he asked this shaila and he wasn't sure what to do. So the answer is, which is, I told him that it says beferish in Mishnah Berurah exactly where it's supposed to be. It's not like a major chiddush. Mishnah Berurah quotes this and it's quoted everywhere. You know, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, everyone says the same thing. That no, it's a din of Beis HaAvel. This they don't say Tachanun. It's not a din in the minyan. It's a din of Beis HaAvel because in the Beis HaAvel there's a serious din. And therefore, you shouldn't bring upon them more din, so therefore we don't say Tachanun. However, if the Avil comes to my minion, so that's not my problem. He shouldn't say Tachanun because he has a serious Midas HaDin over his head. But the Tzibur is allowed to say Tachanun. So I saw this morning in the Pnei Baruch, which is the Sefer on Novelis, very comprehensive Sefer. So the Pnei Baruch actually writes that this is the common practice, that if the Avil comes to daven in someone else's minion, so then the minion does say Tachanun. However, he quotes a Shmuel from Rav Shlomo Zalman that the minig in Yerushalayim was that if the Avil is the one who's davening for the Amud, so then no one should say Tachanun, because it looks funny that the Avil is the only one I'm not going to say, and he's the Chazan, and everyone else will. So that's what he says. Anyway, it was interesting that that Shaila just came up last night. Whatever. Anyway, so with regard to Tu B'Shvat, so the Shema Shmuel has a kasha. He says, I don't understand, the Lashon that he uses is, Ein bo lo kedusha v'lo sho mitzvah, Tu B'Shvat is nothing. So why is it that we make this into such a big deal? Why do we not say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat? We have no Indian of Tu B'Shvat at all. There's nothing behind this day. It's Rosh Hashanah for certain things, but why in the world should we say that Tachnun should be left out on the day of Tu B'Shvat? So that Adaris, I saw he writes in the Sefer Nefesh David that no, the Chacham obviously had something very specific in mind when they said that Tu B'Shvat should be set aside as a special day, because we know that Tu B'Shvat does have three nafkaminas lahalacha, which Tu B'Shvat depends on. And those are number one, Maaser Peiros, number two, Shviyas, and number three, Arla. So therefore, says the Adaris, since there are three nafkaminas that are very crucial to the day of Tu B'Shvat, therefore the Chacham said, we're going to make it noticeable, we're going to make it recognizable that Tu B'Shvat is something different than every other day, in order that people should remember that with regard to these three dinim, the cutoff point is today. Now what does that mean? When it comes to Maisris, like that's the nafkamina number one for Tu B'Shvat is Maisris. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Beis Amin Aleph tells us, Ein Ma'aser Mishana Al-Chavrta. You're not allowed to be Ma'aser if I have a cluster of grapes from this year and I have a crop from the next year. I'm not allowed to take Ma'aser from one onto the next, from one year onto the next year. So when's the cutoff date for that? Tu B'Shvat, that's the cutoff. Anything that grew before is considered this year's crop. Anything that grows after is considered the next year's crop. Fine. So that's with regard to Ma'aser. With regard to Shemitah, just to say it quickly, so there's an Isser, Avodas HaKarka, which already begins Tishrei. Right? Don't we know that Shemitah starts and ends on Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't start and end on Tu B'Shvat. So what does the Mishnah mean over here that Tu B'Shvat is a nafkamina with regard to Shemitah? What does that mean? Shemitah's cutoff date is cutoff date is Rosh Hashanah, real Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. It's not in Tu B'Shvat. So the answer is the Rishonim say that no, the Isra Avodas HaKarka already begins from Rosh Hashanah. However, when it comes to the Isra Peirush Shvius and the Kedusha Shvius that I have to treat my parents during Shvius in a certain way, so that the cutoff date is Tu B'Shvat, and that would make an afkamina l'chumra that the parents that grow from Rosh Hashanah till Tu B'Shvat after, in the eighth year, those also have Kedushas Peirush Shvius, and I have to be very careful in those few months following the Shemitah year as well. The Magen Avraham quotes the minhag of the Likute, I forgot what he says, the Likute something, he says that the minhag is that we eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat. So where does this come from? So I saw that Reb Leibel Eger has a kasha that if we know that there's some Indian that the Magen Avraham quotes that you're supposed to eat fruits on Tu B'Shvat, so why is it that we eat the fruits from last year? What does that have anything to do with the fruits from next year? If I'm trying to point out how wonderful the Ribbono Shel Olam is that he's giving us a new season, so what does it help me to eat the fruits from last year? So Reb Leibel Eger, so the real terrors to the kasha is because the fruit didn't grow yet. You can't do it in one day. That's the real answer. So Odi Shlomar, you know, I told someone, a different cousin last night, who was talking to me at this wedding. He asked me yesterday, I hope he's not listening, but he it was ridiculous. He said to me yesterday, whatever, he's very into Machshava thing, I don't know, he's always floating. So he said to me yesterday that, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out B'Chodesh HaAviv? So I said, I'm not bothered by the kasha. What's the answer?
It's supposed to be the nice time of the year.
So the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out. So I said, Rashi in Sota Daf Beis quotes the Gemara, Motzi Asirim B'Kosharos. What does it mean? Motzi Asirim B'Kosharos means the Ribbono Shel Olam took out the Asirim, the ones who were locked up in Mitzrayim, B'Kosharos, in a month that was absolutely perfect. Yeah. Why? So Rashi quotes the Gemara that the reason why is because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to be pleasant when we were coming out of Mitzrayim. It shouldn't be too hot, shouldn't be too cold. So that's why it was B'Chodesh HaAviv. So I said, I'm not bothered by the kashrus. He said, no, the Maharal is a whole Mahalach. I said, there's no reason for a Mahalach. The Gemara says the reason. So he got all bent out of shape. So he was like bothered why I wasn't bothered by the kashrus. Okay, so I told him that my father always says over the story from Rav Soloveitchik that he used to say over in Shir, that there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was by a Tish, who, Parshas Lech Lecha, he said, you know, he has two kashrus. What are his two kashrus? Number one, in the words Lech Lecha, so why is it spelled with two big chesim?
What is that?
Lech Lecha. Right. So the Chassidish Rebbe asked the Kasha by the Tish, why is Lech Lecha spelled regular lamens and two big cheses? So there was a Litvak in the back of the room. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. First of all, the letters are the same size as everything else. There's no difference. Second of all, it's a chaf, it's not a ches. He said, no, that's one teretz. I dish lamer all another mahal. So my cousin got all angry. He said, you're making fun of the Maharal? I said, no, I'm making fun of you. Whatever. So anyway, so that was the interesting thing. So over here, the Pashta answer to the Kasha is why do we not eat fruits from the coming years? Because they didn't grow yet. By the time Tu B'Shvat rolls around, now is the new season and nothing grew in one day. But Rabbi Leibel Eger writes a very nice mahalach. He says that the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Lamed Hey, anyone who's nanim in olam hazeh b'loy bracha, anyone who eats something without making a bracha, so the Gemara says is ki'ilu mal. He's like, he's over the Isser Me'ilah. Then says the Gemara, anyone who eats without making a bracha, the Gemara says that he's ki'ilu goza la HaKadosh Baruch Hu ilu knesis Yisrael. It's as if he stole from the Ribbono Shel Olam and from Klal Yisrael. So what does that mean? He stole from everyone. So Rashi writes on the Daf, that Ki'ilu goes a la Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's obvious. You stole from the Ribbono Shel Olam because you were supposed to make a bracha and you did it. What does it mean, Ki'ilu goes a la Knesset Yisrael? Rashi says that if Klal Yisrael is going to be makbid on making brachas carefully, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give you a good season for your crops. And if not, if you're not careful, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make sure that you don't have crops to make brachas on. So the Rabbi Leibel Eger says, based on that, that's why we take fruits from the last year and we make sure to make brachas on Tu B'Shvat that we should have a schus. We show the Ribbono Shel Olam, look, we're careful about making the brachas, we're careful to do everything properly. And that's chus, like Rashi says, we want that the new crops, which begin on Tu B'Shvat, that's the new season of Chanata, so that's what we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for, b'schus, the brachas that we're making, and that we're following the dinim properly, so we're asking that we should have a nice crop with the next year of crops that we're going to grow. The Rabbi Avram Azulai, the Chesel Avram, he was a relative of the Chida. Chida was Azulai, so... I think they say Azulai stands for Isha Zon V'Chalal Lo Yikachum. Is that true?
Yeah.
That the Chida's family were Kohanim. So Azulai is to remind all the descendants that they're not allowed to marry Isha Zon V'Chalal Lo Yikachum. That they're not allowed to marry. I don't know, that's what they say. Anyway, so he has a kasha. He says, why is it, it's a beautiful pshat, he says, why is it that the man only came down in the Midbar? And when we came to Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden the man stopped. Klal Yisrael loved the man. Why all of a sudden did we stop? If it was such a heliga food that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, so alachos kam v'kam when we get to Eretz Yisrael, which is the heliga place, so we should have man. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam stop once we got to Eretz Yisrael? That's his question number one. His question number two is, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam always tries not to make a nes that's l'mala midarach hateva? So why did he make man over here? Why didn't he grow? It would be more al derach hateva if he just grew in the Midbar, he would just fertilize the land a little bit, and he would make them grow apples and oranges and all the types of fruits and vegetables that they wanted. Make the desert bloom, exactly. Why do you have to make, all of a sudden, this tremendous nace that came in Hashemayim and everyone got the exact amount and a whole thing? So what's this all about? So it says the Chesed Avram, he has a beautiful, beautiful pshat. He says, no. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahavliya be'evreyem shal Yisrael mikdushasa. He says the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to infuse Klal Yisrael with Kedusha. So he says, if the Ribbono Shel Olam would have just grown Peiros v'Yirakos in the Midbar, those don't have Kedusha, they grew in the Midbar, it's Eretz Amun. It's Tameh just like everything else is. Once they came to Eretz Yisrael, so the Peiros themselves are Chashav, the Peiros themselves have Kedusha, because they grew from Amas HaKadosh. So he says that therefore, the Neis was no longer necessary once they got to Eretz Yisrael, because now they can infuse themselves with Kedusha by just eating the Peiros HaAretz. They have a special significance on their own. They didn't need the man to give them the Kedusha. And that's also the reason why, he says, that's also why the Baruch Shalom made a nes over here, l'mayla midarach hateva, and he made it that the man came down. Why? Because he wanted to give them something extra special in order to infuse them with Kedusha, and that wouldn't have been sufficient if they just had peiros v'yirakos that grew from the ground in the Midbar. Mm-hmm. One last thing, the Gemara says in Erevin and Aftalad, it's a Gemara in different places, not for now, we're not going to go through it, but the Gemara darshens the pasuk Eretz Chitos Ora Gefen Tein Rimon. So the Gemara says that this is a pasuk that was kulo nitno l'shiurim. It's a pasuk that all the shiurim Torah are based on it. You have Kazayas and you have Kigrogeris with regard to with Hotzah on Shabbos and with regard to Kakosevas Agasa B'Yom Kippurim. All the different shiurim all come from this pasuk. So I saw Rabbi Avram Shor writes in his Sefer Halakha Chalibov. So he says that the Chassidus Shesvarim say that the whole yichus that these peiros have is only because we learn Dini HaTorah out of them. Otherwise, what better is a zayis than a cucumber? Nothing. There is no kedusha to a zayis, to an olive, or to a date over any other fruit. So he says, no. It's from the fact that we give them special significance in halacha, and we point out that dinim are based on this fruit. That's what actually gives it the chashivas. It's not that peiros are more chashiv than other peiros. That's not the way it works. Anyway, that's with regard to Tu B'Shvat. With regard to what we're actually going to talk about for the rest of this year. So where is the first makor in the Torah which discusses birthdays? So everybody knows, Para. Okay, very nice. So what does it say? Yom Para and I was trying to think, where else do we have in Chazal a makor for birthdays? So I saw that in the first parak of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara talks about all the different Yom Tovim, that of the Yom Tovim is in quotes, all the different holidays of the Yom Edom, the Gemara calls them, all the holidays of the non-Jews that you're not allowed to do business with them on. Why? So the Gemara says, because we're concerned that if you have a good business deal with the Akum on his holiday, Azulamayda, he's going to go and thank his God on the holiday, and therefore we're not allowed to do business 3 days before, 3 days after either. Good. So one of the cases, one of the examples that the Gemara gives is Yom Genusia v'Yom Haleda. So you see that it was a Gaisha Minig that they used to actually celebrate birthday. That was something that generally was not practiced by Jewish people. Number one, in the Torah you only find it by Paro. Number two, in the Gemara you find it that that's Yom Edom Shalakum. That's the day that the Goyim used to actually consider it to be something significant. So I was looking, where in the world are we going to find a Makor? Has to be something to it. Right? I mean, if you're a Chassidish Yid, so obviously they make Tishin on the Rebbe's birthdays and Yahrzeits and I don't know what. So where does this come from? Can't be made up. So the Makor that everybody brings is from the Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah Perek Gimel. So if you look at number four, this is a fascinating Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Shua ben Levi Amar, Amalek Koshvan Haya. Amalek was very into Kishuv. So what they used to do, Mahaya Oseh, when Amalek was coming to fight Klal Yisrael, so they knew that Klal Yisrael had the strong army, they knew that Klal Yisrael runs with miracles, they knew that Klal Yisrael just came out of the Midbar, just came out of Mitzrayim, and that Klal Yisrael had Kriyas Yam, so they knew everything. So how in the world did they think that they were going to fight against Klal Yisrael and actually win? So says the Yerushalmi as follows, Mahaya Oseh, what Amalek do? Hayamayimid b'nei Adam b'nei Genusia Shalom. Lomar, lo b'mehera Adam nofal b'yom Genusia Shalom. What would they do? Each day of the fight, each day of the war, they would take people whose birthday it was that day. And they said, we know that there's good mazel on the birthday, so therefore, nothing is going to happen to our army. So it was a good plan. So when I told this to my father, he never heard of this Yerushalmi, when I told this to him, so he's such a Litvak, so he said, yeah, and they lost. Exactly. So you see, that didn't work. So I told him, no, but then the punchline is that the next time, Ma'asa Maishu, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about it. Says the Yerushalmi, Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried, and you see that there is some sort of special mazel on a person's birthday, and Moshe Rabbeinu irbe v'asamazelos. Moshe Rabbeinu came around their problem. He came around their solution, I'm sorry. He irbe v'asamazelos. He confused the whole mazelos in Shemayim, and therefore they had no mazel anymore, even the people whose birthday it was that didn't help them to win the war, and that's why they lost. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. That's the punchline. Really, it should have worked. Really, the plan was a very good plan. A person on his birthday actually does have a better mazel than an ordinary person on a regular day. However, says the Yerushalmi, the reason why it didn't work, the reason why Amalek lost the war, was because Moshe Rabbeinu irvev es hamazolos. Very good. However, there are those that are in very strong disagreement, and there are many big gedolim who are very upset that people in the Jewish community pay special significance to the birthdays. Now, where do they come from? What is their problem? So that is based on a Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which is number 5. The Gemara says, Tana Rabban, Shtei Shanim U'Mechza Nechleku B'Shamay U'Mishil. Usually, B'Shamay U'Mishil Ha'Machlekes in the Beis Medrash. That was it. End of story. B'Shamay was outvoted. B'Mishil won. And that's the way we were Koveya the Halacha. However, they had a Machlekes over here in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel. 2.5 years they were fighting about it, back and forth, who's right, who's wrong. And the Gemara says over there, Halalu Omrim. One of them said, it's better that a person should never be created at all. Why? Because he has so much opportunity to do chet in the world, it's not even worth being created. And the other Madamar said, you have so much opportunity to do mitzvahs. So it's wonderful. So a person has such a special schus to be born. So it's better to be born, even though by the wayside, obviously he's going to be over some of the areas in his life. But we understand, that's part of what you're in this world for. Sometimes you fail, but most of the times you can win. Nimnu v'gamnu, after 2.5 years of fighting, so they came to the following conclusion, Noach lo la'adam shalom nivra yos mishanivra. It's better that a person would not be created. Why? Because there's such a high chance, there's such a high probability that he's going to make a mistake and that he's going to do an aver in his life. So therefore, it's better that he would not be created. That's the Gemara's maskana, that they all came to the agreement. Nimnu v'gamnu. They all agreed after 2.5 years of fighting that it's better not to be born at all. Asher Shanivra, but now that we were created and we're all stuck in this situation, Yifashim Shemaisa. It reminds me, there's a Rabbi Yosef Engel who has in his Pirush on. He doesn't really have a Pirush on Chumash, but they put together a lot of Rabbi Yosef Engels from all over the place. So he has a Vart that the Pasuk says, Sham Sam Loi Chokum Mishpat B'Sham Niso. So Rashi quotes on Chumash that one of the dinim that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them in Mara was kibud avayim. So how do you see that in the pasuk? Sham sam lo chokum mishpah v'cham sham niso. How do you see it? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says that no, there's only one mitzvah which is a chokum mishpah. There's only one mitzvah which is both. What is that? Kibud avayim. I have to respect my parents because they brought me into the world and because they're so wonderful and they take care of me, they do everything for me, they support me. So because of that, a person mishpat, alpi mishpat, makes sense. Common sense dictates that obviously he has to respect his parents. But then when you think about it, nimnu v'gamru, I should kill my parents. They brought me into this world. Nimnu v'gamru, it's better not to be born at all. So why is it that we're chayv and kibud avayim? It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, sham samlai choyku mishpat, kibud avayim is at the same time as it's a mishpat, because it makes sense to us. Or if a person's a big tzaddik, Tosfos says, then obviously noach lo shenivra, it's better that he's born because he's going to do mitzvahs. So at the same time that kibud avayim could be a mishpat, it could also be a chok for most people, because a person is always being caught up with doing averus. So he says that's the remez in the pasuk that kibud avayim was taught in Mark, because it says chok of mishpat. Anyway, so the Marsha writes over there, what does it mean nimnu v'gamru? What does it mean that they all came to the conclusion? Says the Marsha, literally, nimnu, they counted up, what they count, all the lois essays against the essays. And they realize it's 365 versus 238. It's not even close. 248. It's not even close. So therefore, they said, forget about it. Nimnu v'gamru. They counted up the mitzvahs essay and mitzvahs lois essay. They realized it's not worth it. Noach l'adam shaloi nivra. Says the Marsha, that's pshat in the Gemara. So therefore, says the Marsha, when it comes to a non-Jew, what does he have? Count it up. Seven. Seven against. He has a whole life to do chesed to everyone. So it's much more worth it for a non-Jew to be noach l'adam shenivra mishaloi nivra. So therefore, says the Marsha, that's why by the Goyim they have more significance to their birthdays than the Jewish people do. Because in Judaism, we cry on our birthday, we're sad, we don't want to be created, we're happier not to have the challenges that we have in life. By the non-Jews, all they have is a challenge of Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Therefore, says the Marsha, by the non-Jews it adds up, it's great to be created. By the Jews it doesn't add up, it's not so good to be created. Anyway, so that I thought was a very harifistic of shot. So the Adaris actually writes in a sefer Tefilas David. The Adaris has tons of svarim. So he writes in a sefer, "B'chol libi ka'asti al mevarchem levarcheni liyom huladati." He writes that he got so furious that people used to wish him a happy birthday. Why? Rak tzadikim yicholim lismoch da'aleim nemer atoisus, because he says the tzadikim over there specifically, the tzadikim are the ones who we say noach l'adam shenivra mishalo nivra. But he says a pashut, a person like me, the Adaris. So what's my big yichus in the world? What's so special that I was created? It's better not to be created. So that's with regard to the whole institution of this altogether. That's with regard to that.
Well, I knew in France, when it was alive, they used to have a weekly thing they used to print up. And they had one on...
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what it was, but the end result was that you do celebrate your Jewish birthdays.
Yeah, so there
is some nozzle to it.
Right, many quote based on this Yerushalmi, that we do celebrate. And you see from the Yerushalmi, whether Noach L'Adam Shenivra or Shalom Nivra, Lamaisa, the Yerushalmi says very clearly that there is a special mazel to a person on that day. That's what you see from this Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
So Minhag, I think maybe through Lubavitch, that you say every year, you say a different Ketuvah Tehillim every day, and you change that over when you do it. Like I do the Nindalah now.
Right.
And the one from my 53rd birthday. Mm-hmm. You do that, and you do that for the rest of the year. So if you do that, you mark that as a year, then that's also another reason.
Something more significant.
To celebrate. Uh-huh. To celebrate or to mark a turning point or a milestone. Mm-hmm.
Could be. Anyway, so the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos writes a whole bunch of milestones, a whole bunch of different markers in life, which we all know that Mishnah says that Ben Chamisha on the Mikra, Ben Asher on the Mishnah, all these different things. Should be the biggest problem, right? Anyway, so one of those things, one of those categories in the Mishnah, one of the milestones that the Mishnah talks about is Ben Shalosh Esrei the Mitzvahs. We know that a bar mitzvah is a bar mitzvah, right? That's when a person is chayv in mitzvah. So where does that come from? So Rashi writes in his Pirush on Avos that is learned out from Shimon v'Levi, that it says by Shimon and Levi that Ish Harbo, they each took their swords, Ish Harbo, and they were already called an Ish. Rashi says, and it's Yadua that Osa Yom Bnei Yud Gimel Hayu. Everybody knows this, of course, this is a fact, that Shimon and Levi were 13 on that day. How do we know? Not sure. How were Shimon and Levi both 13?
Same year, because they're both within 9 months of each other. Not the same day. I'm saying they're going to be the same.
Okay, but it's hard.
What was their...
Okay. 10
Could be. Possible. Possible. Okay.
The way you get off. I don't know that.
Could be. I don't know.
I know kids, though.
Yeah, it could be a preemie. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so the it could have been, you know, the Piskachuv and Yaradeya. It's a lot of tangents tonight, but the Piskachuv and Yaradeya actually talks about a strange case. He says that there was a mother was pregnant with twins, and one twin was born. I'm sorry. No. He says that they heard the baby crying. And then it was stuck in the mother's rechem for 2.5 months or something like that. And then the baby came out. And everything was fine. So, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Yeah, anything's possible. Anyway, so that's Rashi writes. Rashi writes that it's a din that we don't have from Shimon and Levi. However, the Rashi is Tshuva and Klal Tazayin writes that it's Halachal Moshe Misinai. All these shiurim are halachal Moshe Misinai. The Gemara tells us that shiur and chatzitzin and mechitzin are halachal Moshe Misinai. So says the Rosh, this is one of those shiurim which is halachal Moshe Misinai. And the Rosh writes that the same applies when we say that a man is only roi labia once he's 9 years old. How do you know? Says the Rosh, obviously it's halachal Moshe Misinai. A woman is only roi labia once she's 3 years old. How do we know that? Halachal Moshe Misinai. Says the same thing applies over here, that bar mitzvah, yud gimel shanim, is considered a halachal Moshe Misinai. And Rashi says that it's learned out from the psukim. So the Yamshel Shlomo writes in his Pirush on Baba Kama in the 7th paragraph of Lamed Zayin. So he writes over there that the suda of a bar mitzvah that the Ashkenazim make, he says, Sha'osim Ashkenazim, this was an old minig, obviously, that the Ashkenazim used to celebrate. So he says, Ein lecha suda gedola mizu, u'shmai yochiach alav. He says, it's a sudas mitzvah because it's for a bar mitzvah. So he says, that's considered a tremendous simcha, and we would actually consider that something that's real. It's not a made-up simcha. And he says, it's a time that they would give shvach v'hodah, that the parents would thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that he gave them the opportunity to raise this child and be mechanechim until his bar mitzvah. Now he's going on the right path that he's able to keep the mitzvahs on his own. Magid Avraham and Simon Reish Chapei Ois Dalet also writes that a bar mitzvah is considered to the parents as if they're marrying off the child. That's the Magid Avraham Shulchan Aruch. He writes that it's kiyom shenichnas lechupah. That's how special the day of the bar mitzvah is, and he says it's not to be taken lightly. So where does this come from? So the Makar, where I think all this is based on, is the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Now, most people think this is a Gemara that's never really paid attention to la halacha. However, it does have a halachic nafkamina, like we'll see in a minute. The Gemara says, Amr b'shimeng amliel, lo haye yamim tovim li Yisrael, kechamisha sabra'av, and like Yom HaKippur. Why? So the Gemara says Yom Kippur, because that's when all the Shaduchim are made. It's interesting. They used to date on Yom Kippur. Yeah, it's interesting, Yom Kippur. Remember when we got engaged, right? We were going to get engaged on Hashanah Rabbah. And my father was asked, well, should we get engaged? Hashanah Rabbah is a serious day. So he said, they used to get engaged on Yom Kippur. So Hashanah Rabbah is no worse than Yom Kippur. Okay? So the Gemara says over there that Chamisha Asar Ba'av is the other day, which is a very big yontif. So why Chamisha Asar Ba'av? So the Gemara has a whole bunch of days. The maskana of the Gemara is, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say, what's the special yichus of Chamisha Asar Ba'av? Not Tu B'Shvat, Tu Ba'av. What's the special yichus? Says the Gemara, because that was Yom Shepasku Milichros Atzei HaMarach. What does that mean? So Rashi goes on a whole explanation. The Rashbam, I'm sorry, explains over there. No, that the pshat is that they used to go prepare a whole year, a whole 6 months, for all the wood that they would need for the entire year on the Mizbeach. And after 6 months of preparation, finally they finished this mitzvah on Tu B'Av. That was the last day. So therefore, what? So says the Gemara, that was the tremendous simcha. So Rashi says, because when you finish a long process, when you finish something that takes a long time, so that's something to be mesameach about. Let's see him, exactly. So therefore, many of the Acharonim say that that is the makar for making a Suda's Bar Mitzvah, because we had a lengthy process of raising this child, of being mechanechim. It was very difficult, and sometimes the child gave some sort of pushback. He wasn't always interested in us being mechanechim, wasn't always interested in doing what the parents wanted. Yet they made it through, and they were mechanechim enough that he's able to go on his own way now. So therefore, at the end of a long, long mitzvah, so therefore a person, it warrants a person, like just like we make a siyum, so too we make a suda for a bar mitzvah. I know that halacha l'maaseh, this came up. We went in Eretz Yisrael once to a nefesh b'nefesh flight. And the flight landed, I think, at like 6:30 in the morning, but you have to, I don't know if they still do the nefesh b'nefesh flights. Do you go onto the tarmac or not?
No.
I don't know, it was like 5 years ago, so it could be things change, I don't know. But then, I remember we went onto the tarmac, it was in the summer, And we had probably 200-300 people there. It was like beautiful. The Prime Minister was there at this one. I don't know what was so special about this one, but it was like fantastic. So we were on the runway waiting for this plane, and we had to leave at like 5 o'clock in the morning to go, because you have to get clearance with security and everything. So we got there, and everyone davened Shacharis on the tarmac. And it came time for Tachanun, and everyone turned around to my father like, do we say Tachanun? So I thought like it was a joke, why not? And he's like, no, of course not. So I was like, why not? So he said, no, based on this Gemara, you know how hard it is to move to Eretz Yisrael? You know how long of a mitzvah it is to actually finally get all the things into place and actually be on the flight, and finally you're making Aliyah, now you're finally there? That's a mitzvah rabbah. It's something that takes a long time. So he passed Ganalach HaLamayis, so we shouldn't say Tachanun because of it, based on this Rashbam, which they do quote by certain things, but that was a big chiddush. Anyway, so that's with regard to a, how do you like that one?
On the anniversary.
What?
Every year afterwards on the anniversary.
I don't know about that, but this is this was a halacha l'maaseh. This is what happened when we were waiting for the plane there. Interesting. Anyway, so that's with regard to the bar mitzvah. Now, what's with regard to the bas mitzvah? So, I don't have a major bekiyas. This is a famous tshuva from the Sridei Eish that everybody talks about bas mitzvah quotes, and we'll go through it because it's beautiful. He says, Yesh ta'anim neged ha'heter shel chagigas ha'bas mitzvah. He says there are people who are very against the institution of making a bas mitzvah party. Mishum, why? Shehu neged minig hadoras hakodmin. In the old generations, they never had such a thing. They never had such an institution as a bas mitzvah party. So the Sridei Eish writes that some people are upset about it. Shelo nagu minig zeh. Alo be'emes ein zu taina, says the Sridei Eish, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, he says, it is a big mistake. Ki v'doras ha'lefaneinu lo hutzdarchu lasak b'chinuch habanos. We didn't have to work so hard to train our daughters into doing mitzvahs. He says that it was in the streets, it was palpable, you were able to feel it. The Kedusha and the Tahara. They say, like, you used to walk in the streets before Pesach, you knew it was Pesach. It's like when you walk in Mei Sharm now. Before Sukkot, you know it's Sukkot. Everyone's building Sukkot, everyone's buying Lulav and Esrogim, everyone's looking around. You feel it in the air, it permeates. But now, when we live in Chutz La'aretz, so he says, you don't feel that, you don't have that Kedusha, it's not all around us. It was inside of them, it was in their guts. It's as if they nursed the Kedusha from their parents, it's as if that's what they were brought up with, that's what they had their whole lives. He says, nowadays, unfortunately, there's a tremendous change in the generations. Obviously, the culture sucks out a lot of the Kedusha and Tahara that every one of us is really supposed to have. The girls go to schools, to public schools. He says, therefore, in our generation, therefore, it's very important for us to make sure we pay special attention to the chinuch of the girls, and with that we give special significance to their being mechunuch as well. Hareza davar machiv leiv. He says it's something that he's very upset about. Shebechinuch haklali limudei safos sifros chilonius madei ateva. He says when we talk about secular studies, v'ruach doagim lebanus kemolabanim, we make sure that our girls have as much of a serious secular education as our boys do. However, when it comes to Jewish studies, when it comes to learning Torah and to learning about mitzvahs haminhagim, lemudi atanach v'sifras musa shachazal v'chinuch lemitzvahs ma'isa shanashim chayavus ben maznichim legamri. We ignore the women. He says there's no education for the women, just like we have for the men. Doesn't make sense. So he's very upset about it. La ashrenu, he says, we are lucky in our generation. Amdu gedol yisrael b'dar hakodem ala kalkala azos. The Gedolim realized that there was a big problem here. V'tiknu mosta shalter v'chizik dati ba'ad b'nos Yisrael. They started the Beis Yaakov's. Hakamas reshes Gedolim makifah shal Beis Yaakov. Hi ha'afganaha na'adar b'yosah shal darinu. He says, that is something that our generation should show off of that. It's something we should be proud of. That we actually up the educational system of the girls. And we show that it's something that's special. It's something that's important. And therefore, says the Sridei Eish, we should take it a step further and also show the girls that when they become bas mitzvah, it's something that we want to pay special significance to as well. Rabbi Avadia actually writes in his Tshuva and Chelek Vav in Archaim, Simen Chav Tes, that this is not only a very important issue, and he says it's something that we should take very seriously. He says it's considered a Sudas Mitzvah. And he says, therefore, you're allowed to make it in a shul. Rabbi Maisha is very upset about it. He says, fine, you want to make a Suda is one thing, but he said to use a shul for it, he doesn't think that would qualify as a Sudas Mitzvah. But Rabbi Avadia takes it very seriously. He says, no, person has to realize that his daughters need to be shown that it's something that we take very seriously, that the minhagim are just as important for them to know as for all the boys to know. And their chinuch mitzvahs is something that's very important, just like the chinuch mitzvahs for the boys. The Sreda Eish was an interesting story. He went through the war. He lived in Switzerland after, I think. But then he lived in Canada afterward, even after that. They say famous stories. I think he used to teach college students right after the war. Strange story. That's where he ended up. He got a parnasa, but he was a big time chacham. Some say that he went crazy during the war. I don't know. Some claim that. I'm not sure what the real story is. Some said they asked Mechila from him after. I don't know exactly. What? They got very involved in this. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. He was a big Talmud Chacham, that's for sure. And he wrote beautiful tshuvas. The tshuvas of the Sreda Eish are fantastic. Such a beautiful read. So he has this. Anyway, so the next thing that the Mishnah talks about, which is a real life cycle, is Ben Esrim Lirdof. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us Ben Esrim Lirdof. Now, what does that mean? I always assumed, till I looked into it this week, Ben Esrim Lirdof means when you're 20 years old, you're vibrant, you have a lot of energy, you have a lot of of excitement, exuberance, a person is able to actually do things. However, I was surprised to see that that's not the way the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah. The Bar Tanura writes, and the Tosfos Shantz explains this also in Idias, that what does it mean, Ben Esrim Lirdof? That until a person's 20, you can't be Chai Misa B'dei Shamayim. Once he turns 20, they can be right of you, Min HaShemayim. Ben Esrim Lirdof. We can nail him. Min HaShemayim, they can go get him. They can be Mechayiv in Karis, they can be Mechayiv in Misa B'dei Shemayim. But before he's 20, he cannot be Chayiv Karis at all.
Skip that birthday.
Yeah, skip that birthday, right. Oh, so we'll get to that in a minute. So it's interesting that this is the shita of many of the Rishonim, that until a person's 20, he's not able to be Chayiv Karis. So the Chacham Tzvi has a famous Kasha, which he quotes from none other than the Maharal Prague. In Simon, Mem Tes, and the Shalos HaTshuvos Chacham Tzvi, he asks Akasha, how can you tell me that until a person's 20? Between 13 and 20, he's not able to be Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim or Kares. Don't we know that a person who is over an Aveira, that if he did it B'Shagig, he would be Chayiv, I'm sorry, if he did it B'Mezid, he'd be Chayiv Kares. What does he do if he does it B'Shagig? Chayiv to bring Karban Chatos. So as the Chacham Tzvi B'Shem the Maharal, we know that a person, once he's 13, is Chayiv in a Karban Chatos. But if it's not Zdono Kares, if you're saying you can't be Chayiv Kares till he's 20, so why is a 15-year-old ever bring a carbon chatas? That's the kasha of the Chacham Tzvi. Why is he Chayiv to bring? It's Chul Ma'azara. Right? The Gemara says that there's a parallel, that the only time you're Chayiv to bring carbon chatas is if you would have been Chayiv Kares. So why is it that a person between the ages of 13 and 20 brings a carbon chatas? That we know. So why is it that he brings a carbon chatas?
That's the answer.
What?
That's the answer.
Obvious answer, Mamashin, obvious answer. I can't believe they're so bothered with this kasha. I think the answer simply is that it doesn't mean, what? He's Chayiv Kares, right, exactly. He is Chayiv. He was Ivar and Aveira, that has a Chayiv Kares. There's no punishment, exactly. Of course. It's a sort of Pashto of Teretz. I don't know. That when are you Chayiv to bring a Karban Chatas? When I'm Ivar and Aveira, that's so Chomer that I would have been Chayiv Kares. In this situation, you figured out a way the guy's not going to be Chayiv Karis and still he's going to bring a Chatos. Doesn't matter. He was Arvin Avera Chamura, which is going to be Mechayiv to bring a carbon. Doesn't make a difference. My father had a Raya once I told him this. He agreed. He thought that was Pashut. And he had a Raya also from... What?
What's the Kapara for?
You didn't Avera Chamura.
But he doesn't need the Kapara.
You were. He was still Arvin Avera Chamura. That just shows you how Chamur the Lav is in our eyes. How seriously we take it. The fact that there's even a Chayiv Karis for it. That's how seriously we take it. However, when it comes to the actual execution of the punishment, so the Rebbe Shlom is not going to do it. Maybe. Okay. So that's what some of the Rishonim say. So my father had a raya from...
Society.
What?
That's true in secular society. That's juvenile delinquency.
Yeah, what does it mean?
It's the same kind of thing. You could do something wrong.
So a juvenile murdered someone. So what's going to happen when we're not going to...
So he's not going to be executed for that.
But we're going to put him in jail.
Right.
Why? Because he was ever an Avera Chamura. Exactly, because he was ever an Avera Chamura of murder, so we're going to put him in jail. So the same thing over here. He was ever an Avera Chamura. We're not going to give him Karis, but we'll give him a Chatas. Makes sense? Nothing so rocket science. What does that have to do with Halacha L'maisa? What's the difference? We don't bring Karman Chatas nowadays. So what does that have to do with anything? So the answer is a nafkamina, tremendous nafkamina, bizman hazeh, is for Birchas HaGoyim. Why? Because the Magen Avraham quotes, In his Agdama to Simon Reish Yud Tes says the Magen Avraham, a katan is not able to bench Gadol. Even if a katan was run over by a car, Rachman al Tzlan, he gets in a tremendous accident, something terrible, and he's saved, he does not bench Gadol. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, he can't say Agomel Chayavim Tobos, he's never Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, he's never Chayav Karis. So says the Magen Avraham that he would not bench Gadol once he's a katan, and he can't change it and say Hagomel to other people because you're not allowed to be Mishanim Matbeh Shetav Chacham. Chacham are Misakin that the bracha is supposed to be said in this format. And you can't change the wording of the bracha. Fine, so that's what the Magen Avraham says. So the Nafkamina would be over here. Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva. What's the halacha l'maisa? A person between 13 and 20, is he allowed to bench Gomel or not? Mm-hmm. I saw in the Stechem, and he also has a discussion from one of the earlier Achranim. Is a person between the ages of 13 and 20, what's the Yehiratzin that we say after the Parshas Ha'asham in the morning? Right, so we say Yehiratzin Kilo Krafti Chatos.
That's
right. Oh, so how are you allowed to say that? Says the, it's lying. Kilo Krafti Chatos, what do you mean? You're not chayiv. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be chayiv to bring those karbanos. So the Stechema takes it seriously. He says, v'shem nachrenim, maybe the cotton shouldn't be, not just the cotton, between 13 and 20 shouldn't be allowed to say it. The answer is, like we said before, he is chayiv v'chatos.
But it's only cars that he's not chayiv.
Right.
But he would be chayiv misa today.
Right, once he's 13.
Once he's 13, he's chayiv. If he kills somebody, he's
exactly.
Right. So he is a guy when I come to him.
No, but over here, Hagom al Chayav and Tovas means, I really was Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, that's what it means. And I got saved because of whatever. So the answer is, over here, that's a big nafkamina. So the Tzitz Eliezer writes, of course we know that the din is, of course he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. He thinks that Haskamas, Rav HaPaiskim is like that. He says the Kaf HaChayim says that it's Mashra from most of the Paiskim, that after a child turns 13, he obviously can make a bracha berachas HaGomel. There's nothing to talk about. That's what he says. And he quotes also that the Prima Gadim writes it in the Eshal Avraham also that a person should bench Goymel after he's between 13 and 20, he's able to bench Goymel, even though there's this discussion in Rishonim about whether he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yehuda has another interesting Nafkamina Lalacha, which is, what if a child dies between 13 and 20, do we say Kaddish on him? Piskei Teshuva quotes in Yeridei. Why not? So maybe the reason for Kaddish is to save him
from
Gehenim. And over here, he's not responsible for all the Misa B'dei Shemayim.
After 30 days, or even the cotton.
You say Kaddish, yeah.
After somebody...
Same Kasha.
Right.
No, that's maybe 13 and 20. Yeah.
No, but the Nodi Yehuda says, obviously we say it. You know, the same way we say by cotton. That's what he says. But he raises the possibility, maybe he shouldn't, because he's not Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Okay, interesting. It's interesting, if you look in the last on the source sheet over here, Rav Moshe has a beautiful tshuva to his son of Reuven when he turned 20. So many people have a minute to fast on their 20th birthday because now you're going to be Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. I remember I called my father about my 20th birthday. He thought I was crazy. But whatever. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva over here. This someone showed me when I was in the Mir Yeshiva at the time. So someone showed me this tshuva from Rav Moshe. Beautiful tshuva. He says, Rav Reuven asked his father, am I supposed to be fasting? It's my 20th birthday. I don't know how many years ago that was, but it was a while ago. You want to know what's the key to living after you're 20 years old. So says Rav Moshe to his son, says Rav Moshe, you want to know how to live life and do it to its fullest? He says the greatest way to do it is to learn Torah as much as you can. He says, if you learn properly and you spend all your time that you can learning, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give you back a lot of bracha b'hatzlacha. In honor of your 20th birthday, you should act nicely to others. You should stay away from getting angry. Fine. Says Rav Moshe, make sure you respect your mother. Because we're so used to in our society not treating our parents properly. Even if your mother is mochel on the kibbut av, don't listen to her mechila, and you must make sure to be makan on kibbut aim all of your years. Here's the punchline. Should I fast on my 20th birthday or not? Here he goes. Says Rav Moshe, "Ein kedai lefanecha ulechol adam she'oskim haTorah." It's not worthwhile for a person. Why? Ki chas v'shalom bali de bittul. person's going to walk around starving all day long. He's not going to learn properly. Af im v'im af lo baliv bitol bekamas baliv bitol be'eches v'chazalam v'betanis tafir alef sh'ayosh v'betanis nivka chote. A person who takes tanesim on himself for no reason, he's called a chote. V'chein lo b'chal sigufim al laharbis b'limin. What should you do in honor of your 20th birthday? Go learn an extra seder, learn an extra 5 minutes. V'yu dvari l'fanecha tamid v'yazrecha Hashem yisbarach l'olam hineni avicha ohavecha Moshe Feinstein. Beautiful tshuva to the son of Reuven. Beautiful. So just to finish off over here quickly, when it comes to another milestone in the Mishnah is Ben Shishim Lezikna. You're considered a Zakin when you turn 60. So the Gemara says in Ma'akan Daf Ches that Rabbi Yosef used to make a big party, a big Sudas Mitzvah on his 60th birthday. Why? Because on the 60th birthday, that's when a person knows. Obviously, he wasn't Chayiv Karis. Big discussion. Tosfos and Daf Beis and Yavamas talks about is the 50, 60, the Karis, Ariri, Misa V'Dei Shemayim, which one's which? Interesting discussion. You should start feeling young. What do you say? It's a good idea. Ben Shimon Laseva, the Mishnah says, 70 is also something significant. The Chavis Yar writes in his Tshuva that 70 years old is considered a Sudas Mitzvah, says the Chavis Yar. Why? Because we know that the Pasuk says that a normal lifespan of a person is 70 years. So once a person makes it to 70, he should make a Sudas Mitzvah that he's still living. Big chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he allowed him to give him more years past 70 years old. And therefore, he says, the Chavis Yar even writes that a person should make a Shechayanu B'Shem Malchus on his 70th birthday. We don't pass on like that. Prima Gadam in the Mishmah Sosav says that the Chavis Yar is a Tzarechim Gadol. Sam Sofer in his Agos on Arachayim Simer Reish Chavhei says, obviously, if a person is going to make a Shechayanu because he's so excited, he should either put on a Beged Chadosh in honor of that, or he should just make it B'li Shem Malchus. But he says, stam to go make a Bracha of B'Shem Malchus because you're 70 years old, he thinks that's a little bit of an exaggeration. What? Buy a new car? It's a good idea. Midlife crisis. Yeah. I was here 1 week when they had a bar mitzvah celebration for someone who turned 83. I looked around. I have not seen anything other than the Baba Vareva's sichas from his 83rd birthday where he said it's a Mar the Ge'inyan, but it's not based on anything. So I don't know.
70 and 13.
What? No, I got it. I did the math, but I'm not sure where it comes from. Yeah, you got to ask a real chassidish yid, which is not me. But it's interesting that the last thing that that we'll talk about is Ben Tishim Lasuach. The Mishnah says that when a person turns 90, that's a tremendous milestone. So it's quoted in the Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim Chayiv Upa'alav. It's a Sefer, the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim in Hebrew. So it writes that when he turned 90 years old, I'll read it because I have to be careful to say it exactly right because there's a lot of discrepancy about the story. However, it's quoted that he invited over he invited over Rabbi Chanan and the Panovich Rav. So it's two pretty trustworthy people who were big talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. He invited them over to make a suda, and it says that he gave them cake and schnapps and he made a big suda. And he said in the middle, one of the reasons why he's so enthusiastic about making a suda is because the Ribbono Shel Olam saved him by giving him an Arichas Yam. The Ribbono Shel Olam saved him from making a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Why? Because he said, I went around my whole life parading and telling everyone, who's going to have Arichas Yam? The person who's careful about the way he speaks. If I'm going to die at 70 years old, at 60 years old, it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, that I was the guy who spoke Lashon Hara my whole life, even though I didn't practice what I preached. So he said, I'm making a Sudas Mitzvah and I'm inviting my big Talmidim to show everyone that it's such a Kiddush Hashem that I was granted a long life in order that a Chil Hashem didn't come out of it, that people shouldn't say anything. Oh, the story is controversial whether or not he actually made a bracha, whether this really happened or not, I don't know. But this is a biography written by, I think, a grandson, Zax. I think so.
The whole history of biographies about Chafetz
Chaim. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's great tape, I think, on this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a big controversy about this story also. When did the party happen? When he was 70, when he was 90?
I think the only really authentic one, which is not much in publication, is one that the Chafetz Chaim son wrote.
Oh, yeah?
The Hebrew was there that, I think, published in Beit Rock. It doesn't have great circulation because there were stories that some people also were not happy about.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the story. Anyway, we're running out of time because we're going to try to make Ma'ariv at 9:15 in Sha'arei. For those who... do we have a minute here? Everyone davened?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we're going to try to make it. But on the back, there's a beautiful vart for anyone who wants to read it. I'll just say the brief synopsis. this week's parsha, we speak about Kabbalah Satara, Nesina Satara, the Rabbanu Shalom gave Satara. So there's a beautiful piece here, which is a copy of the Michtam Me'elio, where he talks about a famous Shaila, which is now famous, but really he's the one that began the whole question. When I love someone, do I love them because I give a lot to them and I invest a lot in that person, therefore that makes me love them more because I invested so much in them? Or do I give them things because I love them? That's the suffix that the Michtam Eliyahu of Dessler has. So he says over here, when it came to Kabbalah Satar, the Rebbeinu Shalom loves us, that we know. So did he give us the Torah because he loves us? Since he loves us so much, he buys us presents, he gives us special things. Or is it, no, he loves us because he gave us the Torah and he's so invested in it, he gave away his most precious thing in the world, and therefore he's we're his Am Segula, because he loves us so much since he gave us his most precious thing that he could possibly have given to anybody. So that's the famous discussion that the Michtam Eliyahu has over here. And he says that it's a discussion which comes up between parents and children as well. Do I love my children because I invest so much time in them? I wake up in the middle of the night for them. I change all the diapers. I do everything for them. That's why I love them, because I invested so much. Or is it that I love the children because I love them and therefore I give them everything. I give them all my time and I'm willing to suffer through some certain things, certain circumstances in life. Anyway, it's a beautiful piece. We're right on the next time. I don't know.